Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 9, Number 12. In the last edition of SNU, I discussed sports nutrition as an art. This relates to how you apply the science, which tells us why, and provides a logical explanation. When and if we take our vitamins on time is a function of the art. The art is concerned with the measure, the quantity, the timing, the application, and the consistency day in and day out of the administration of the supplements we take. That is the art of sports nutrition. Of course, the art of sports nutrition also relates to the food we eat and when we eat it. The art of sports nutrition can be compared to the skill, development, and training of an athlete. You have to show up. You have to practice. Practice that leads to great performance observed by the spectator is the art form of the athlete in motion. Today, I'm going to talk about the science. This is the third principle of sports nutrition. The science of sports nutrition is a derivative of scientific investigation, including various studies and clinical work performed by researchers and scientists at universities and research centers around the world. I love the science because science is a search for truth. I want to know if these vitamins and minerals and dietary supplements actually do what the people who promote them say they do. I want to know for sure that what I'm taking is going to do what I've read and what I've been told. I know they have value, but I want to know if they're safe. I want to know how much to take. I want to know if using creatine, for example, can actually improve my vertical jump height or my speed or my kinetic power, or if it has any additional value, such as relating to life extension or protecting mitochondria from damage or sustaining my cells with energy as they age. I want to know how and why these things work. That's science. It's a massive interest of intellect. I want to know why I can apply them, how I can apply them, so I can apply them routinely and then teach others what I do because I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Unlike religion, I don't want to advocate something by faith or hearsay alone. I want this approach of using whole food and natural health products to be validated with something called evidence, hardcore evidence, tangible, real evidence, something you can measure, something you can see, something you can quantify, so that we know why we're doing is the right thing. But here's where we have to be cautious, because not all science is trustworthy. Not all science, or what appears or hides or masquerades as science, is reliable. Not all science is actually true science, because humans in general are seldom, if ever, ethical. True science is objective, unlike most people. True science is performed without bias, again, unlike most people. Most people are prejudiced and biased. True science yields an outcome which relates to data and logic and math and physics. This is the language of the future, the language of the universe, because it has no bias. It's pure. It's clean. When you speak in mathematical science and physics, you're talking about laws which go far beyond human bias. And it has nothing to do with profit, desire, or human intention. It's just pure, raw, real data collected through the scientific process. And this is the stuff we want to know before it's manipulated, corrupted, or altered in any way with a specific outcome of profit in mind. Now, there are several good journals and reference texts that you can use where the science is usually presented in an objective fashion. One of the ones I like is the Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. This is a peer-reviewed journal that covers various aspects of sports nutrition, supplementation, exercise metabolism, and or scientific policies related to sports nutrition. So this is the official journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And to gain access to peer-reviewed articles or to purchase the Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition, visit www.jissn.com. Another one of my favorites is called the Journal of Sports Nutrition and Exercise Metabolism. You can just enter this and Google it and find out how to gain access to this resort or order it and they'll deliver it to you. Another one that's a little more technical but still very good is Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise. So there's lots of data. Of course, the CSNA education program is loaded with scientific data and references to research protocols, and everybody out there that has completed their CSNA has had to submit an example of some science that relates to the use of a product and its functional aspect on performance or health. And we had to dig through the internet or find a journal with a good example of that. If you can use the same protocol in life and living, if you can be more rational and less emotional, if you can use more math, more science, more physics in your going in and coming out, I think that you're going to find your life will flow more harmoniously, almost like a spaceship designed with science in mind. And you have to understand how to launch it, how to land it, how to move it through time and space. And once that is understood and applied and the experience proves itself out, you can keep doing it again and then just keep making it better and better, just like our lives. Just keep making them better and better. Now, without the science, we wouldn't know that vitamins exist. We wouldn't know that certain diseases will arise as a result of their deficiency. And now what we are learning is what is obvious to those who are seeking the truth, is that you can take dietary supplements above and beyond the minimum amounts to improve health, to improve performance, to maximize quality of life, to minimize our risk of disease, and to increase the quality of our lives. And that's what it's all about. It's about quality and life extension. It's about living better with less disease or ideally none. Now, this is a critical point to understand. And here's one of my favorite Dr. Colgan quotes from his book, Optimum Sports Nutrition. If you believe, truly believe, that a supplement is helping because it's endorsed by a top athlete or because it comes from Russia or because of the pseudo-scientific hype that litters promotional brochures, then it's likely that you will make real measurable gains while using it. That's called the placebo effect. All the better if the supplement also contains a stimulant that gives you the additional feeling that something good is happening to your body. It's the power of placebos that keeps bogus supplements on the market. So just what is good science? Well, the qualities that transform a good idea into good science can be captured in three maxims. Good science responds to real phenomenon or real problems. Good scientific problems are those that reflect real phenomenon in the world or real problems that need to be solved. Good science is in the details. A scientific solution to a problem takes the form of a working model that produces observable behavior or empirical data that can be compared and contrasted to the real phenomenon. Good science also makes a difference. The measure of the contribution of a piece of work is in how it solves real problems or shapes the work of others. But science is a human endeavor. Scientists are all human with the typical faults and foibles that non-scientists have. In other words, the real people out there on the planet that don't consider themselves as scientists, although this is something I told everyone in the classroom the other day. I said, I want you to start thinking of yourselves as scientists Because the knowledge you have, things like the Earth's rotational speed and the fact that it rotates around the sun and in elliptical orbit, and the Earth lives in an expanding universe, and we have things like gravity and small and weak nuclear forces and electromagnetic radiation. Just knowledge of these things makes you a scientist compared to people not even 100 years ago. Things that you take for granted, like computers and cell phones and the technology that's being utilized right now in the recording studio. If you know how these things work or even have a simple idea, that makes you a scientist because you have to compute data in a rational manner. It has nothing to do with your emotion. You're now using your brain the way it's designed to, and that is for your own benefit, for your own edification. Now, science follows certain rules and guidelines. Exactly what these rules and guidelines are depends on what area of science a specific scientific procedure falls within. Fact, the word itself, fact, what is fact? Well, in a scientific context, it is a generally accepted reality. Opinions, which are different from facts, are neither fact nor theory. They are not officially the domain of science. Thus, science cannot directly address such issues as whether God exists or whether people are good or bad. That's outside the realm of science. That's open to other forms of discussion. Science generally uses the formulation of falsifiable hypotheses developed via systematic empiricism. Hypotheses that cannot ever be disproven are not real science. So that's why you can't go into a discussion about God, because nobody out there can prove that God exists. Therefore, if something is impossible to prove, that means anybody could come up with any concept, no matter how irrational or ridiculous, and believe in it, and yet science can't invalidate it because it's something that that person just made up. Well, it's maybe kind of like Santa Claus. We can't invalidate his existence, and if you believe that he exists, I guess that's what you would call faith. But there is no evidence that he or other people like him, such as the fairy godmother or the tooth fairy, exist. And I guess believing in those kinds of things is what makes the magic of Christmas. Now, to become a legitimate theory in the conventional world, a hypothesis must be subjected to the approval of a scientist's peers. We got to get other people involved. And then publish this stuff, this evidence, in an accredited scientific journal. But the journals can be compromised. They can be corrupted. They can omit studies. That happens all the time in the world of vitamins. The medical journals are not printing the good stuff about how the vitamins work. There's prejudice, there's bias, there's control, there's manipulation. Now, replication of a scientific procedure is also vital to good science. For the scientific community to accept a finding, other investigators must be able to duplicate the original investigator's find. So if you claim something to be true, somebody else on the planet has to be able to follow the procedure, follow the protocol, and come up with the same conclusions. And if they can't, then it creates some issues regarding the credibility of your finding. Now, what is the difference between science and an opinion? An opinion is a belief that may or may not be backed up with evidence, but which cannot be proved with that evidence. It is normally a subjective statement and may be the result of an emotion or from an interpretation of facts. People may draw opposing opinions from the same facts. That's why it's not the same as science. Science ultimately leaves you with a conclusion that's infallible once it's proven to be what it is. Because science, again, is the search for absolute truth. What is? But then, again, we don't always have all of the information we need to reach the state where we know something to be absolute. Scientific opinions, now these are different than regular layperson's opinions. These are opinions formed via the scientific method and so are necessarily evidence-backed. So there's the opinions people have about whatever they feel is right or wrong, and they generally have no evidence to support their case. But then there's the scientific opinion, and that's backed with some evidence. A scientific opinion, representing the formally agreed consensus of a scientific body or establishment, often takes the form of a published position paper citing the research producing the scientific evidence upon which the opinion is based. So if you have an opinion about something, do you have any evidence to sustain that opinion? So there you go. First comes science, and after that comes everything else. The beauty of sports nutrition is that it encompasses so much. And then you can begin to break it down, and that's what I'm trying to do in these SNUs. And in the next coming year, we're going to go through a continuous surge of different ideas and thoughts that I have about what sports nutrition is and certainly what it isn't. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Max Planck, German physicist and founder of the quantum theory. A scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die and the new generation grows up that is familiar with it.